gone.
Calm down, Mom. I'm right here.
Ephraim's dead,
she sobbed. You just imagined it. Mom, look at me. Look at me. I'm fine. She stumbled toward the stove and grabbed onto the side, then leaned over and retched. Clear liquid splashed onto the faded linoleum, along with some of the pills she had taken. Jeez, he said. She wobbled, and he rushed over to catch her if she fell. She collapsed to her knees, head bowed. She coughed a couple of times and stared down at her own mess. Finally, she looked up, and this time he knew she recognized him. She was crying. Eyeliner was smeared under her eyes like bruises.
Ephraim, but I saw your body.
A thin trail of saliva dangled from her chin. Do I look dead to you? He snapped.
A bus. It hit you, and...
She rubbed her face.
But you're here. You're alive? Are you really my Ephraim?
Why'd you do this, Mom?
You were so young.
She closed her eyes.
My poor baby.
Mom, stay with me. You have to stay awake, Ephraim said.
Stay.
She echoed. Mom! Her lips moved, murmuring something too low for him to hear. As he leaned closer to listen, she slumped back against the oven door and stopped moving. Ephraim snatched the phone and dialed 911. While the line rang, he lowered his mother gently down on the floor, using her purse as a pillow. His hands shook and hot tears blurred his vision. A calm voice spoke from the phone. 911, what is your emergency?
My mother took some pills, he said.
Chapter 2.
If one more doctor or nurse came by to tell him he'd saved his mother's life, or tell him how lucky it was that he found her when he did, Ephraim thought he would be sick. It was still sinking in, what his mother had done, what she had tried to do. During the ambulance ride to Summerside General, she had drifted in and out of consciousness. Each time she awoke, she'd stared at him as though she couldn't believe he was there. She'd thought he was dead, she said. He looked up and saw a nurse at the open door with curly brown hair and a kind smile. She seemed familiar, though he'd never met her before. The badge on her chest identified her as Julia Morales.
Ephraim Scott,
she pronounced his name, Ephraim, with a rolling R, the way his dad did, instead of Ephraim, the way everyone else said it. He liked the exotic sound of her Spanish accent.
Yes, how's my mother? He said.
She's still in intensive care, but resting comfortably. Thank God you found her when you did.
Ephraim winced. Her expression softened and she sat down next to him, placing her hand on his arm.
Your mother will be okay now. Dr. Dixon doesn't think there'll be any permanent damage. But we have to hold her overnight. She frowned. Possibly longer.
Longer?
We can't send her home until we evaluate her, to make sure she won't try this again.
It was an accident, he said.
She mixed up her medications. She had a little too much to drink, that's all.
Sweetie.
She's never done this before. She didn't mean to.
The loudness of his voice in the small room shocked him into silence.
Okay,
the nurse said.
How are you doing?
How am I?
With all of this. It's a lot for someone your age. If you want to talk...
I'm just worried about her.
She sighed.
You go to Summerside High?
He nodded.
Maybe you know my girls, Mary and Shelley Morales?
That's why he'd recognized her. She was Mary and Shelley's mother. The resemblance was clear now. Her hair frizzed like theirs. She had the same thin nose and thick eyebrows. The same curvy figure.
I'm in their English class.
He didn't mention that they wouldn't know him. The identical twins were far too popular to pay any attention to Ephraim, especially with all the other guys fawning over them, including his best friend, Nathan McKenzie, who they outright ignored.